All right. If you have your Bible, let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 3 today. And while you're turning there, I love this time of the year. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. And if you're traveling somewhere, be safe. We're traveling up to Michigan. I love getting in the car with the family for a 12-hour ride over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go, right? So I actually do like being in the car with the family because usually everyone's kind of scattered and busy, so we get together and hang out. I can remember, Emily and I have been married for over 20 years now, and so being there in Michigan, those who were once four, my nephews and nieces that were four and five, the cousins getting together, you know, when I would go up there before, I always want to be the favorite uncle, so they're always like, Uncle David, put us in a trap. Put us in a trap. Let's play hide and seek. And over the years, that's changed. Now, my oldest niece, Julia, she's already been in the Army for 4 years. She's just come back from being in South Korea. I have no doubt that she's not going to be like, let's play hide and seek. Put us in a trap. You know, they're in college. They're out of college. Those who were once six are now 26, 27 years of age. And so proud of them, how they've grown. Certainly they've grown in age and grown physically and the things and the careers that they're chasing. Grateful for all of that. And people grow. People age and they mature physically. They mature academically. I've seen even with my own children the other day, this past week, I was helping my son. Or I thought I was going to help my son. I could see him struggling a little bit. I'm like, you want me to help you with the study on that? And he says, yeah, he hands me the book. I'm like, hey, what are you looking at? I thought we were doing 1 plus 1, then we were doing a little long division. I can hang with you on that. This calculus stuff that they're, woo, where'd that come from? It's been a long time since I've seen anything like that. They grow academically. But actually what the Bible and the author of Hebrews wants to speak to us about today is growing spiritually. Growing spiritually. Yes, we grow physically, we age. We become stronger and things like that. That just happens. But growing spiritually isn't equated to how old you are or how long you've been a Christian. There's work involved in growing spiritually. And this actually serves as a warning to us. So now as you, as we encounter the Word of God today, it may step on your toes, but don't go running away. The intent of this warning to us is to challenge us, so that we would now understand the seriousness of growing spiritually. Hebrews is quite an interesting book, and it's pretty deep. And as we're going through it, what the author has done under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is he has woven several warnings throughout the book that tell us, be careful, make sure, do this. And this is one of those warning, in fact, the third warning that we've encountered. And so the warning, listen, is not meant to condemn you. You're not intended to walk out of here just feeling condemned so that you give up. But the passage will step on your toes to the point you're going, I need to respond in a way that's pleasing to God. I need to respond and maybe trust the Lord and walk with Him a little more intentionally. He's going to speak to these Hebrews about how they really haven't matured in the faith, their spiritual maturity. And he's even going to call them spiritual babies. How about that? And this passage is very good for us today. Now, the last time we were together in chapter 5, we looked up to verse 10 and saw them speaking to us about the priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood, Aaron's priesthood, and the qualifications of a high priest, and how Jesus not only fulfilled the qualifications of the high priest, but how he by far exceeded the qualifications of the high priest. How he is greater than the priesthood of Aaron, greater because he comes from the order of Melchizedek. We read that Jesus, it was said of him in prophecy, that you are a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. that Jesus' priesthood was eternal, that it was a royal priesthood because Jesus is a king. And in every way, he's greater. And you get the sense that the author was really starting to speak to us about some of these deeper truths. And then he just kind of stops from here until chapter 6 and verse 3. And he just kind of puts his hands in his pockets and he kind of starts shaking his head because we're not able to track with him anymore. He wants to tell us some greater things and some deeper things. Look at verse 11 now, and he says, chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have much more to say. I want to tell you so much more. It's hard to explain it to you since you have become dull of hearing. There's some exciting spiritual truths. We're going to go a little bit deeper, but you can't track with me. It goes over your head. You should be able to, but you've become dull of hearing. So he says this by way of chastising them. Spiritually, they're not listening. Spiritually, they're not growing. They're not progressing in the faith. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about that? You know, it's interesting. We just got back from being in India. And I noticed there's a difference between, for the most part, there's a difference between American Christianity and what's taking place in India. I'm telling you, in India, when we meet with these guys and we're doing the training, these guys, they get there early and they stay late. We're there with them all day. And they show up, they've got their Bibles opened and they've got a notebook. And the whole time, they're just tuned in like, man, this is what I gotta know. This is it. And they're taking notes the whole time. They're tuned in. Typically in America, we're just a little bit more like, this is casual. And this is really not that important. This is a checklist, if anything at all. And rather than taking notes and seeking, this is my time. When we gather together as the people of God, that we study corporately. And a lot of God. Come on. This is American Christianity at church. Man. He says, we have a lot of things we want to tell you. And there's a lot more to spirituality, to Christianity, to growing in the faith. You know, it's always sweet when you talk to somebody who's walked hard and seriously with the Lord for many years. Had an older gentleman tell me one time, he said, I've been studying the Bible all my life, studied it, dug into the Word, really digging. And I just realized that I've only scratched the surface of the wisdom of God. You're not going to exhaust it. I can say that I've been digging into God's Word, and I can tell you that today I feel like I haven't even started. The more you get closer to the Lord, the more you study, the more you realize you don't know much. There's a lot to learn. The author of Hebrews is saying that. He says, guys, this is gold. Now, you're chasing after things in the world that are of no near value to this beautiful treasure we have here. And I want to unload some of these great treasures to you. But you can't even hear. You can't take it in. In fact, in verse 12, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, enough time has passed by that by now you should be teachers, but yet you need someone to teach you again. The first principles, elementary basics of the oracles, the teachings of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. By this time, you ought to be teachers. Now, let's just clarify a little bit. The idea here is that you should be passing these things along to someone else. Some of you may be teachers. Some of you may be preachers. Some of you may be leading life groups here. Praise the Lord. That's included in this. But it also includes those of you who teach, maybe in a school setting. Those of you who coach, maybe a ball setting. Those of you who have children in a home setting. Those of you who have friends over a cup of coffee. You know, I can tell you, my wife, she does not like to speak in public. If I told her that, hey, today you're going to stand up here with me and say a few words, she wouldn't eat or sleep. You know, she's like, no, not public. but over a cup of coffee, imparting the truths of God's Word to our children, to friends, you know, just getting together. And maybe it's the grandchildren that come over to your house and they are just hanging out talking. And you've noticed that they're on their phones like this, right? And saying, hey, I notice you like that phone. Maybe you got the Bible on your phone. Say, come over here and look at my phone, what I got here. Or can I tell you something? And you just say, I want to just take 10 minutes and tell you what grandpa or grandma or mom and dad. And then maybe you just read a passage, a scripture, John 1. I want to talk to you, just tell you, do you know who God is? Do you know who the Son is? Jesus, the eternal Son of God. He was with the Father in the beginning, and then he came to be with us. This is my Savior. And so you're just imparting truth. You've learned something that you're in turn imparting to others. And when you teach it to others, you actually then, you learn it, right? And so we're to be passing along the faith and discipling others. God has called every one of you who name the name of Christ to be a disciple, that is a learner, who is also discipling others, disciples who make disciples, who make disciples. This is God's call on everyone who claims to be a follower of Christ. This time you ought to be teachers. You ought to be passing along the faith. This is what you ought to be doing. But now instead of that, you've become stagnant in your growth, or you haven't grown at all. And he says this to their shame. You need someone to teach you again. We're wasting our time here. The kingdom is not advancing, but it should be, and it could be through you. And the idea here is your ears are closed because you're distracted by worldly things. Maybe you're entertained by worldly things, and you have forgotten your mission, your calling. You've been deceived. You've been duped. You've been discouraged. You're depressed. And it's all about you rather than about what God's called you to do. And all of a sudden, when you start walking in the ways that God has called you to walk, and you're paying attention to the kingdom of God, now that lifeblood is flowing through you. You're living out the DNA of the King who created you. And all of a sudden, you start finding joy, and hope, love, the Spirit-filled life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Does that describe you? Are you full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? That's the Spirit-filled life. But when you run in the world, and a lot of times, especially our young people are running in the world, if the world is feeding you, then it's the opposite of love. There's a lot of hatred. There's not a lot of joy. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of trouble, anxiety by people who are living worldly lives, and Christians can get caught up in that. But rather, you should be in the flow of the Word, not in the world. You ought to be teachers by now, he says, but you need someone to change your diapers. You didn't grow up. Babies are so cute. Amen? Babies are so cute. You love them. You feed them the milk. You burp them. Change their diapers. That's cute. But when you go visit the nephews and nieces in Michigan and they're 25 years old and they're still drinking milk and you have to change their diapers, you go, wait a second. Something's wrong. Right? Something's wrong in American Christianity. We've got 25-year-olds that need their diapers changed. They're not growing. They're not using the faith, exercising the faith. And he says, and you have come to need milk, not solid food. Milk is for the babies. It's good. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it's fine. Milk has its purpose. He says, like newborn babies in the faith, those who have just trusted Christ, crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That's God's desire, God's will for your life, is that you grow up in the faith. I can remember verse 12 When I was a new believer, for whatever reason, I discovered verse 12. And I remember being on my knees and asking God, saying, Lord, I pray this would not be true of me a year from now. And it's still a prayer that I will pray. Lord, wherever I am now in my spiritual life, I pray that 1 year from now, I would look more like Christ. That I would just grow, not just in head knowledge, but better in pleasing you. I want to glorify you in my obedience to you, in my walk with you, my life with you, and in the knowledge of the Word. These things are very important. Now, again, you're listening to this. God's not trying to condemn you so that you run away and never come to Him again, but this is a warning to you. This is God warning you about the seriousness of growing in the faith. This is God's will for you, that you would be challenged and you would respond in repentance and turning to Him, taking the milk if you need the milk, but growing on. Growing on. Babies need the milk, right? You don't see babies going out to get a nice big juicy steak, you know? 6-month-old, give me the steak, you know? I love a steak, you know? If you were going to take me out to eat, say, Pastor David, we're going out to eat. Where are you going to take me? Where? And I'm going to order a big bottle of milk for our nice dinner. You're going to be like, what? Yeah, I said, get a little nipple on it. That's all I'm doing. You got, what's going on? No, you're going to take me to Angus Barn, right? We're going to get a big steak. Celebrate. Cheesecake Factory. Hey, I love that. He goes on, he says in verse 13, for everyone who partakes of only milk, in the sense there, that's good for you, but it's baby food, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Man, you're not going to hold up well. Something's going to happen in your life, and you're not ready for it now. What do I do when somebody who was close to me, now they're not with me anymore, they passed away? How do I handle when the doctor tells me about this crisis, when I have a financial crisis, a friend is in a marriage crisis? What do I do? You don't know what to do. You're not skilled. You don't know how to take God's word and now apply it so that you can live a successful life as God calculates success. You're still a baby. And rather than taking these golden truths and helping not only yourself and your family, but others through the difficulties of life, you don't know what to do. You're unskilled. You're still drinking the milk. We see so much need for God's people to be able to speak God's truths into the lives of others, and they're not ready. Somebody comes up to you and says, I see that you're a Christian. I see you're committed to the faith, right? Tell me, how is it that I could know Jesus? I want to be saved. Would you be able to articulate the gospel to them in a way that they might be saved? Are you leading people to faith in Christ? That's what God wants you to do. But you can if you're on the milk and you're unskilled in the word of righteousness. God wants you to be able to be a warrior for Him. That there's spiritual battles. You've got your sword and you can enter into the battle. But rather than entering into spiritual battles, we're entering into gossip battles, baby battles. We get so offended. Can't believe they use those kind of lights. You hear the craziest things. Oh, man. Jeremy, he does a good job, but he won't let me sing. That's what I said. Jeremy, you won't let me sing. Wah! Crying. Actually, I hope he doesn't let me sing. I'm terrible at singing. We fuss about things, and we have these weird expectations. And yet, servants have no rights. Did you know that? I mean, we should exist to say, hey, however you can use me, I just want to see the kingdom of God advance. But instead, in American Christianity, we sit back like this, we just get offended at everything. And he says here, They are unskilled in the word of righteousness. They're fighting the wrong battles. And it says, for that person is a baby. That's insulting. I know my youngest, Maddie, she's in sixth grade. You know, when she was younger and Jake and Grace were a little older, every once in a while they would say something like that. Maddie's, you know, growing up, she's two. You know, they would say, hey, you're just a baby. Maddie's like, I'm not a baby. She would say, I'm a big girl. I'm a big girl. You don't want to be a baby? That was kind of an insult, right? And that's what the author is saying here. You're only taking milk. You're never growing up. You're not growing in the faith. You're not studying the word. You're not growing. You're not applying it. And you're a baby. Still fussing. Fussing and crying. Didn't go your way. Verse 14, but solid food, these are the deeper truths of God's word. They belong to those who are full of age. Warriors. Mature. They're not going around picking fights with gossip, but they are going around fighting the spiritual battles against Satan in the power of the Lord. Always able to give an answer, 1 Peter 3:15, for the hope that lies within them. They're always ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within in them, and they do so with gentleness and respect. And the word of God and the kingdom of God is advancing through those who are full of age, maturity. And those who are mature often have to go back and nurse and patch up the wounded, the babies, rather than taking the battle to the world. You a warrior or a whiner? But the solid food belongs to those, the big steak, the meat of the word, to those who are mature. That is those who by reason of use now, idea of exercising, working it out, obedience. These are the doers of the word, not just the hearers of the word. They're walking with the Lord. These who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern now between good and evil. They can look at the situation and kind of evaluate and discern what's right, what's wrong, what's the right course of action. Because they are skilled in the deeper truths of God's word and look to apply those truths in the right way to bring about a resolution that glorifies God. Not so that they can pat themselves on the back and brag about their spiritual knowledge, but that God can now use them as instruments. They're available, they're ready, they're prepared for Him. That's what God wants from you. And they have their senses exercised. The word exercise, gymnazo, where we get the word gymnasium, gymnasium, gymnasium. And this is the idea of training, exertion, repeated and repeated and repeated that brings about the desired result. Over time, you don't just snap the finger and say, hey, I'm spiritually mature today. I mean, you got to be careful. And Paul was warning, hey, sound doctrine, teaching, over time, observation, now growing. You know, you don't go from a baby to a full-grown adult, not in 1 year, 2 years. But the diet is now changing. You know, it's interesting. My son is into going to the Y and working out. That's what happens when you turn 16, right? Like, hey, I could. This could be bigger here on the arms, right? He's just hoping he could one day be like Dad. He just wants these guns like that, right? Not at all. So we're going to the Y. To which I say, why? So we're going to the Y, and now all of a sudden I see he eats things like healthy food, like tuna, right? Like, who eats tuna like that? Well, if your goal is to be stronger and healthier and have bigger muscles, you do things to accomplish your goal. Things that may not even seem pleasant. It's eat tuna, right? I'm eating tuna. Other cousin, Will, back home, he's a big guy now, 6'4". You know, he talks about how they eat all this stuff. I'm like, that's nasty. He goes, it's totally nasty. You love it. I love it. Why? Because our goal is to be stronger, right? So they're eating all this food, but that's not the end of it. It's not just taking in, but now they're going to the Y. They're lifting the weights. I can't take Jake to the Y and say, okay, you just stay here and I'll do all the lifting for you, right? I'll do the lifting for you and that's what benefits you. No. You have to take it in. You have to lift the weights. You have to do it time and time again to get the desired results. How much more spiritually? So I remember riding home from the Y. I love going to the Y with my son. Why? Because I spend time with him. We're talking about things. I have no desire to try to get my arms from that big around to that big around. And so we're talking. I said, so, man, you're eating real healthy. Yeah. You're working hard. Yeah. I remember the first time we came here, man, you can even bench press like 70 pounds. Now you're almost double that. Yeah. You got some goals? Yeah. Got a chart? Yeah. Got the chart. Got the plan. Going to put the work in. Here's what we're doing. Yeah. And I'm getting together now with some friends. He starts naming his friends. Hey, we're going to be getting together. We're going to work out. We're going to do this together. I said, man, that is great. That's commendable. Seriously. I said, how much more so spiritually? You have these goals that you're taking, not tuna, but the Word of God. That's your goal. Tastes good? Terrible? No, sometimes it's tough. You love it? Yeah, I love it. Growing up, taking it in, but now I've got goals. Hey, I can't lift it for you. You got to do it yourself. Yeah. So my goal this summer, the book of Isaiah. I just want to really master it on a deeper level. And so I'm getting together with my friends for a few hours each day to lift weights. Yeah, but more important, to go through Isaiah and study together. So that just this summer, I know it'll go by fast, 3 months, we will have taken our understanding of Isaiah to a deeper level. The world would say, man, that is nerdy. God would say, well done, good and faithful servant. You got a goal, you got a plan, you're going to put in the work, you're going to do what it takes because you want to grow up. And so you can handle situations that come into your life. You want to mature spiritually. Now, it's interesting as we think about being a baby and spiritually and growing up. George Barna, he is a Christian pollster, takes polls and surveys, and he did something that helped us to understand the biblical illiteracy in America. People just, they're babies all over. How can you expect anything to be accomplished with the kingdom of God moving forward? And all these spiritual babies that just fuss. You know, you wonder what's wrong in America. Listen, don't blame Washington, D.C. Don't blame the politicians. Politics is not the answer. But if my people, God says, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then God could bring healing to the land. We are the salt and light of the world, Jesus said. We could change the world. Just by simply being who God called us to be. But yet we discover that most Americans cannot identify just even two of Jesus' disciples. Fewer than half of all adults in America can name the four Gospels. What? I mean, that's not even digging in. That's just the skin. That's just the surface. Fewer than half of the adults in America can name the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? Four Gospels. 56% of this younger generation, that's a certain age group they refer to as the Mosaics, believe that the Bible teaches the same basic message as other so-called religious scriptures. Seriously? The Bible stands alone It is nothing like the Quran or the Book of Mormon. The Bible's inspired by God, not men. Those other so-called writings are written by men. God, to demonstrate the authenticity of Scripture throughout the tapestry of the text, he has woven prophecy. 30% of the Bible's prophetic. So it validates the message. You can test it. This is God's word. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me, then all the other scriptures are either no good or this one's no good. Jesus is the way. He is Lord. God has spoken to his creation, and he has spoken in his word. 60% of Americans can't even name five of the Ten Commandments. What's interesting is a lot of times you'll talk to somebody and they'll say, yeah, I'm going to heaven when I die. Really? Why do you think so? You know, I keep the commandments. I keep the Ten Commandments. Really? What are the Ten Commandments? I have no idea. I don't know what they are, but I keep them. Over 50% of high school seniors thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. That's funny, but it's sad, isn't it? Many people indicated that they thought the Sermon on the Mount was a sermon that was preached by Billy Graham. Now, I'm sure Billy Graham preached a lot of good sermons, but the Sermon on the Mount was the one that Jesus did in the Bible. And 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc, born in the 1400s, was the wife of Noah. Joan of Arc was not the wife of Noah, okay? There's biblical illiteracy, and we wonder why the nation that we live in is falling apart. He says, but the solid food belongs to those who are mature, and they can now use this. They have had their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. You know, when I go, you can see in our neighborhood that I live in, I see Mormons going through. And I see Jehovah's Witnesses going through. And I'm concerned, do they know enough of the Bible to know that that's a false belief system? That it's a lie. Mormonism is based on a lie. It's not true. Same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. But the majority of people who are converts to those false cults come out of everyday American churches. They just didn't know any better. And they've been deceived. They've been caught up into an eternal mistake. Not knowing the basics. Not able to discern between good and evil. And then you see the prosperity gospel, Benny Hinn. So many people caught up in the prosperity gospel. And it breaks your heart when you see people you know and they're like sharing Kenneth Copeland. They're like sharing, hey, I like that guy. Like, really? Deception. Prosperity gospel. So the author is saying, come on, guys. Let's grow up. And so he sums this up. Chapter 6, verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. In other words, let's leave the baby food and let's move on. Let us go on. Do you see this? While it's a warning that steps on our toes, he says, let's grow up. Let us go on to perfection. The idea there is completeness. The idea there is maturity. Let's press on. Would you receive that challenge today? This is directed at you. Would you receive the challenge, the conclusion where he's heading? Let's press on to perfection, to completeness, to maturity, and not laying again the foundation, returning to the basics, and he names a few. And yes, they're important. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, obviously very important. The doctrine or the teaching of baptisms and laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, the two resurrections. We've talked about it in here. Resurrection unto life. Is there a resurrection after life? Let's move on past these basic conversations about eternal judgment. Does every human being live forever? Yes. One of two places? Yes. Is there a judgment? Yes. One for believers, one for unbelievers? Yes. The Bema judgment, the great white throne judgment. We've talked about that. Learn it and let's move on. Let's go on to the deeper truths, not just keep on repeating ourselves about these basic things. And then in verse 3, he says, and this we will do if God permits. This is God's will for us. And so the challenge now to us, the challenge to you, to determine to grow spiritually through Bible study, not just filling our heads though, not just Bible study, obedience and walking with the Lord. Let's gain the knowledge and glean the knowledge and be students of the Word, but let it also reflect so that we are not just hearers of the Word, but we are doers of the Word, that we walk in obedience to God, that we have a love for God and a love for others. That's when you see maturity taking place. Not squabbles, backbiting, but now a genuine love for God and a love for others. That you would look more like Christ 1 year from now than you do now. That you would glorify God with all of who you are. Listen, we're almost done. Listen. Let this warning serve its purpose. I'm so glad that you know how to throw a ball. You taught your son how to throw a ball. I'm so glad that you can tie your shoes. You've taught your kids how to tie your shoes. I'm so glad that you have a good job. You make lots of money. I'm not saying anything wrong with any of those things. But what a tragedy. If you can do all those things, you make straight A's, you accomplish so many great things from a worldly perspective, but your kids don't even know how to share the gospel. You're not making disciples. You can't lead someone else to Christ. You don't serve. You don't walk in obedience, and you haven't grown spiritually. Then you've missed the point. God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, and he saved you so wonderfully. Not that you would just sit there, take in baby food, and whine and cry all your life, but that you would grow up. It is God's will for your life that you grow up in the faith. And I tell you, it is the greatest adventure. It is your greatest treasure. It is God's great calling on your life that we grow. So whether you are 5 or 105, as you hear this, you take the challenge from God's word and say, Lord, you take a knee. Lord, you help me. Cause me to grow spiritually. I'll do my part. I'm going to eat. I'm going to go to the Y. That I might grow. And you make this the priority of your life. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I pray that we would receive. It's not a hard teaching in that it's hard to understand. It's a hard teaching in the sense that it's going to require effort. It's going to require change. It's going to require discipline. It's going to require work. Lord, I pray that you would cause all of us, Lord, to walk in this narrow way. Lord, that those of us who've been saved would now grow. Wherever we are this day, that a year from now, Lord, there'd be a marked difference, that we have grown in these ways. Let us press on to maturity. Lord, you have called your people to maturity. So, Lord, we entrust this message and this challenge from you to us into our hearts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name and amen.